सकतां धर्मसेतूनां वक्तकर्ताभिरक्षिता प्रतिपां अचरद्भ्रमन् परधाराभिमर्शनम्। Parikshit Maharaj said, O Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, has descended to this earth along with his plenary portion to destroy irreligion and reestablish religious principles. Indeed, he is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of moral laws. How then could he have violated them by touching other men's wives? Report. As Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, Maharaj Parikshit noticed that some persons seated in the assembly on the bank of the Ganges were harboring doubt about the Lord's activities. These doubtful persons were karmis, jnanis, and others who were not devotees of the Lord. To clear up their doubts, King Parikshit asked this question on their behalf. Aptakamo yadupati kritavan by jugupsitam kim abhipraya ethan na sangsaya chindisuvrata. O faithful upholder of vows, please destroy our doubt by explaining to us what purpose the self-satisfied Lord of the Yadus had in mind when he behaved so contemptibly. Purport. It is clear to the enlightened that these doubts will arise in the minds and hearts of persons unfamiliar with the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, since time immemorial, great sages and enlightened kings like Parikshit Maharaj have openly raised these questions to provide the authoritative answer for all posterity. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Dharma Vyatikramo Drishta, Ishvaranam Trishahasam, Tejiyasam Nadoshaya, Vanesaravabhujoyata. Shukadeva Goswami said, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality. We may see in them, for they are just like fire which devours everything fed into it and remains unpolluted. Therefore, great potent personalities are not ruined by an apparent transgression of moral principles. Sridhar Swami mentions the examples of Brahma, Indra, Soma, Vishwakarma, and others. A fire devours all that is fed into it, but the fire does not change its nature. Similarly, a great personality does not fall from his position if an irregularity is in his behavior. In the following verse, however, Shukadeva Goswami makes it clear that if we try to imitate the great personalities ruling the universe, the result will be a catastrophe. Netat samacharej jatu manasapi hyanashvata vinashyat yacharan modhyad yatharudro bhijam visham. One who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he will simply destroy himself, just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. Purport. Lord Shiva, or Rudra, once drank an ocean of poison, and the result was that an attractive blue mark appeared on his neck. But if we were to drink even a drop of such poison, we would die immediately. Just as we should not imitate this pastime of Shiva's, we should not imitate Lord Krishna's activities with the gopis. We should clearly understand that while Lord Krishna certainly descends to demonstrate religious principles, he also descends to demonstrate that he is God and we are not. That also must be demonstrated. The Lord enjoys with his internal potency and thus attracts us to the spiritual platform. We should not try to imitate Krishna, for we will suffer severely. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Payama Vansa Kalpatarupyas Chakripasindubya Evacha Patitanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namonika Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Maharaj Parikshit as he was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, hearing the sublime teachings of Srila Shukadev Goswami, he is conscious not only of his own well-being, but of the well-being of all others. This is the nature of a great personality. Paradukaduki. Such a person, whatever sufferings he sees in another living being, he accepts them as his own suffering. In fact, to the extent we are concerned with our own problems and our own miseries in life, to that extent, we are simply trapped within the bondage of those problems. And the fact is, in this material existence, there is no solution to the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death. And the temporary superficial problems that come into our life between birth and death, even if you think you can solve them, you can be assured with an unconditional guarantee that another problem will come near in the future. This is a world of complications. There's never a solution. We work so hard to solve one problem, and shortly after, something worse comes into our life. That is the nature of material life, and no power can change it. The only thing we can do is transcend it. We may have problems with our health. We may have problems with our family. We may have problems with our income. We may have problems with our reputation in society. So many problems come. Political problems, national problems, problems with the weather. People are complaining, oh, it's so hot. I hope the rains come. But wait till the rains come, then there will be floods, and you'll be thinking, oh, I wish the rains would stop. This is material life. And the more we are engrossed, feeling sorry for ourselves because of the problems we have, and trying on the material platform to solve these problems, the more we become engrossed in the suffering of material existence. So how to transcend it? We transcend it by devotional service. And we find that the great personalities, their service, as Mahaprabhu has explained, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That means we see that other people have problems, and to the degree we try to solve other people's problems, to that degree we forget our own problems. We're too busy for our own problems. And when you forget your own problems, that means you have no problem. Because problem is nothing but an imagination of the mind. What is a problem?
If you think it's a problem, it's a problem. If you don't, it doesn't exist. One man's food is another man's poison. Someone may think that some difficulty is a terrible problem. But if another person sees it as the grace of God, it's not a problem at all. He sees it as a benediction. So which one is it? It just is a question of how you perceive. In giving, we receive. In reaching out to think about other people's difficulties and try to help them, we have no more difficulties. Our only difficulty is their difficulty. And the suffering of trying to solve another person's difficulty, because it is selfless, it is actually a form of bliss. But when we're simply trying to solve our own domestic conditions, it's selfish, and therefore it's really miserable. And of course, the ultimate problem is a lack of Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it is the only problem in all of creation, is a lack of Krishna consciousness. So to the degree we reach out to try to help others become Krishna conscious, to that degree we have no problems in our own life. We are transcendental. And this is the universal cure to all of our anxieties. Forget yourself. You're the servant of the servant. You're not feeling enthusiastic? That doesn't make any difference. If somebody else is not enthusiastic, you enthuse them. Their problem is your problem. If you're in Maya, don't worry about it. But if somebody else is in Maya, you preach to them. You do what's required to get them out of Maya. That is how to be transcendental. We have to stop being so engrossed in our own life of anxieties. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a preaching movement. It is a movement of reaching out to help others. It is a movement where we forget our own anxieties because we're in too much anxiety due to the suffering of other living beings. Haridas Thakur was being beaten. He was being whipped. He was being insulted. He was being spit upon. But he was so busy thinking about the people who were beating him, the problem that they were going to have, that they were going to go to hell for all these sins, that he wasn't even thinking about his own body being beaten to death. He was too busy praying to God to forgive them. That is Krishna consciousness. So here Maharaj Parikshit, he is sitting on the bank of the Ganges. Many days have gone by until his imminent death. There's only perhaps one or two days remaining. Now, to most of us, that's a problem. He had 7 days to live. Here we're finding that Sukadeva Goswami is already almost halfway through the 10th canto. So that means he only has a couple more days to live. Now most of us would be worried, I'm going to die in 2-3 days. This is terrible. But Maharaj Parikshit, he was thinking, now, Sukadeva Goswami has just completed his narration of the Rasa Leela of Sri Krishna. And there are many sages here who are not pure devotees. Some of them are jnanis, and some of them are karma yogis. And I can feel in my heart that they are misunderstanding Krishna's Rasa Leela. Therefore, for their benefit, and for the benefit of all living beings who hear this narration in the future, I should clarify this misconception and inquire from Shukadeva Goswami. How is it that if Krishna is the father of morality, is he engaging, apparently, in immoral ways? Please destroy this doubt by explaining why Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus, behaved in this way. This is the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. He's facing death within days, and he's so much concerned with other people's spiritual progress. He's so much attentive to their spiritual needs. He's so much in the mood of service. And Maharaj Shukadeva Goswami is here explaining to Maharaj Parikshit, who obviously already knew the answer, but for the benefit of others, he has asked, that even amongst the jivatmas, who are very, very powerful controllers, if they apparently transgress morality according to a particular time and circumstance, we should not try to judge them or criticize them. Because he explains here that just like fire, which devours everything fed into it, it remains unpolluted. In the same way, such great souls, why they are behaving as they are behaving? Is it the will of God? Is it due to some past conditioning? Is Krishna forgiving them? Is it yoga maya? We cannot understand these things. We do not know. So therefore, we should not risk the chance of committing aparadha. You know the story when Lord Brahma, he saw the beauty of his own daughter, Bak, and he chased her. At the time, we should understand that Lord Brahma was not subjected to such human frailties. But Krishna wanted to use him as an example. And however great you are, do not think that you are above the attraction of sex. Even if you are the greatest controller, creator of the universe, still you must be extremely careful and cautious in this regard. And therefore, Krishna personally and directly covered him over with yoga maya to induce him to do like this. Meanwhile, there were some sons of a particular great sage who questioned Brahma. They laughed at him. In a sense, they ridiculed him. And because of that, they had to fall from their heavenly abode and take birth in this world as the sons of Hiranyakashipu. They had to become demons. And then later on, these six children had to become the sons of Devaki and be killed just after their birth. And ultimately, after being killed by Kamsa and then going to the court of Yamaraj for many years, Devaki prayed, "Krishna, please, I have heard the story of how the son of your guru, Sandipani Muni, how he was killed in the ocean and you brought him back to life." Devaki said, "Can you do the same thing for my six children who I loved so much but who died just after their birth?" And Krishna, out of his great, great mercy, he went to Yamaraj and said, "Give me those six children back." And the six children were brought back to Devaki. And she fed them the milk from her breast because she was so overwhelmed with parental affection. But because Krishna had drank milk from her breast, her breast milk was Mahaprasad. And upon drinking it, these six children became liberated and attained the perfection of life. So, of course, this is a wonderful pastime, but we can understand that Krishna demonstrated that even if a great personality appears to be doing something immoral, we should be very, very, very careful and discreet before we make a judgment on them. Because we do not know what lila Krishna may be playing. We may be not, maybe they are actually fallen, maybe they are not. But we see that Brahma, as soon as within moments, he resumed his original position as a great acharya. It wasn't that he was continuously like this. So this is the demonstration that we should not judge such great empowered personalities. But at the same time, if a person is acting in a fallen state continuously, we should know that this person is, we may not criticize, but we should have no association with such a person. But we must be very, very careful. We must be very careful to judge empowered devotees of the Lord. Because if we, by chance, make a mistake, we are putting ourselves in very, very dangerous spiritual grounds. So, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, if this is the position of the powerful controllers of the universe, what to speak of the supreme controller? Sapariji, thank you very much for coming. Is there any service for me? Any special thing you would like to discuss? Give this garland. What was I saying? So, Krishna, he is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. He is the absolute truth. He is the father of morality. He is the husband of all living beings. He is the proprietor of everything that exists. There is no question of morality within Krishna. He is perfect and complete. And everything he does, everything he says is absolutely perfect. But Sukadeva Goswami explains that when we read about these great personalities, and how they are behaving in such inconceivable ways, we should never have the audacity or the arrogance to imitate them. We must follow the instructions of such great persons and follow in their footsteps, but we cannot try to imitate. Goswamiji explains here that you want to imitate great personality? Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. Will you drink this ocean of poison? If you drink even one drop, you will immediately die. But Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many followers of Shiva who are very fond of trying to imitate Lord Shankar. They drink bhang. They smoke hashish or ganja and take other intoxications, thinking that we are Shivites. And Shiva, he has done like this, so we can also do like this. And through this process, no doubt, they become intoxicated. And in their intoxication, there's a sense of liberation from anxieties and suffering, because after all, when you come into the mode of ignorance, Your mind and senses are so dull that you temporarily forget the miseries and sufferings of the mind and body. And in fact, they have invented elaborate ritualistic processes all based around taking of intoxications for the sake of enlightenment. This is worship in the mode of ignorance. But Guru Maharaj says, if you want to imitate Shiva, then drink the ocean of poison. You must follow his teachings. Similarly, Krishna has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he teaches extensively of the absolute necessity of giving up sense gratification. Tani saravani samyam ya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya prajna pratishtata. That one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me, he is a man of steady intelligence. Kama esha kuroda esha rajoguna shamudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyanam iha vaidinam. Krishna says it is lust only which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this whole world. And he says, Trividam darakashidam dwaram nashitam atmana kama krodha tatha lobas tasmat eta triyam tyajet. That there are three gates that lead to hell: lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man must give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Krishna says, from the very beginning, one must conquer and not give in to this deadly sin. Symbol of sin called lust. Yayato visayan pung sang sangat sangjayate. Krishna says that at the beginning there is some attraction, attachment. If we contemplate the objects of those sensual attachments, lust awakens. From lust, deeper attachment. Then unfulfilled, it becomes anger. Then we lose our intelligence and ultimately we fall down from the spiritual path. So Krishna warns us so succinctly, we are not these bodies. We are not these minds. We are the eternal soul. And the greatest enemy to self-realization is trying to satisfy the senses of this body. But then we find Krishna. He is dancing with gopis in the groves of Brajbhumi. They are embracing. They are appearing like they are enjoying the sweetness of romance. But it is completely on a transcendental spiritual platform. And it is more deadly than drinking poison to try to imitate Krishna or try to artificially contemplate these conjugal affairs of Sri Krishna. It is our duty to follow his instruction as explained in Bhagavad Gita. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami warns that this is a very high, very sublime subject matter. It is like PhD of transcendental subject matter. And if a child who is in elementary school tries to dive deeply into the subject matter of PhD graduate, he will simply be bewildered. Similarly, we must understand the basic principles of Bhagavad Gita very carefully. And we must understand these beautiful pastimes of the Lord very strictly and carefully in reference to those teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We should not think that we can just enter into some higher bhava or higher rasa just by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. This is not the process. This type of contemplation is there for liberated souls, for people who are very, very advanced in spiritual consciousness, for people who have transcended the mind and the senses. Otherwise, we must very carefully hear, under the direction of our spiritual master, these high leelas, with reference to the basic principles of the Gita. And we should know that by chanting the holy name of Krishna and obediently getting the mercy of Gurudev by serving his devotees, we will become purified. And then the realizations of these higher truths are awakened within our hearts. This is the process that Rupa Goswami has given us and all the previous acharyas have given us. So Maharaj Parikshit is so kindly, for our own benefit, asking this wonderful question to Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami is making it quite clear. Whoever we are, however great we may think we be, we should never imitate these great souls. We should take a humble position. Any questions?
This doubt used to be there in my mind, so I thought I'll just clarify it out. We have been told that if at all we wanted to do any spiritual advancement, that is only through we surrender to a spiritual master. And through that only we have some realization. Now, we have to surrender to a spiritual master. Sometimes, the spiritual masters, we can't understand him totally. It is just by our complete faith and complete trust, we have to accept some of the things. Although we can't understand it, we just accept him because of his teachings and because of his all behavior, we can understand him that he is perfectly. Sometimes his activities are not, we can't understand it. We feel that he might be in a yoga maya or something or the other. That way we just consider him. But sometimes what happens is the spiritual master, because of his humility, he says that I did something wrong in the past. And that is the reason why this thing has happened. Sometimes because of his humility, he says. And once he says that, that doubt used to be there in our mind that, is it so that he might have also instructed me something doing this way? And he might be thinking that I made something mistake and I am surrendering fully. So is it something that something can go wrong or this or that? So that thing completely disturbs us. So how to see that doubt doesn't come in our mind?
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he's the most sinful of all sinners, and anyone who even says his name loses all pious credits of his past. He considers himself more fallen than Jagai and Madhai and more degraded than a worm in stool. So does that disturb your mind? That is the nature of the great personalities. A great soul considers himself to be less than an ordinary man. Therefore, we must understand from the philosophy of Krishna consciousness that if this person is purely repeating through his life and teachings the word of God, and we must accept him as good as God. Sakshat Dhari Venasa Masta Sastra. He is the confidential messenger of God, and he should be respected as good as Krishna. That philosophical understanding we must know. But he doesn't consider himself as good as Krishna. He considers himself full of mistakes. But Prabhupada used to say, even when Guru makes a mistake, the disciples should see that the mistake is perfect. Physically, it may appear to be a mistake. But Krishna has a purpose behind everything in the lives of his devotee. And factually, even if a person in one sense makes a mistake, if his motivation is pure, it's not a mistake at all. In spiritual life, mistake means to be envious of Krishna, and to act independent of Krishna. But if you have proper motivation, and you're doing it specifically for the service of Krishna, even if externally it appears like a mistake, it's not a mistake at all, it's perfect. Krishna is not concerned with the external result. He's concerned with bhakti. Krishna has only one concern, and that is bhakti. So great personalities they never speak high of themselves. They naturally speak low of themselves. And we must see that as their glory. If they apparently admit mistakes, we should see that as their glory, as their greatness. That is seen through the eyes of the scripture.